kids have laptops but no internet, Barbados wants laptop entrepreneurs on their beaches for a year. And Windows 10 turns 5 years old. All that next on the Computer Doctor Show.
You're listening to the Computer Doctor Show, your source for technology subjects affecting your business and personal life during this new normal. Your host is an award-winning office technician and IT specialist, author, tutor, ethical hacker, and recent winner on localbest.com as the best computer shop in Tucson. Broadcasting live, here's Aaron Moss.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Computer Doctor Show. I'm Aaron Moss, your host. Good to have you with us every Saturday at 2 p.m. right here on KVOI 1030 The Voice and streaming live on YouTube at the 1030 The Voice YouTube channel. Our open lines are 520-790-2040. Feel free to call in anytime with your comments and questions. For the past 2 weeks, we ran some reruns on the show. It's good to be back here in the studio. I was self-isolating safely. I had some symptoms of COVID-19, but turns out to be nothing. I am negative, thank goodness. But I did have to go to the ER at Northwest Hospital. And I want to give a quick shout out and thank you to Dr. Josephine Valenzuela and to my nurse, Christian. He didn't give me his last name, but he knows who he is. He came in wearing these really, really thick goggles. I didn't even know how he was able to even see me. But they were extremely safe. They took extremely good care of me down there at the Northwest Hospital ER. On the show today, telemedicine has skyrocketed during the COVID-19 pandemic. Patients and healthcare workers are doing more remote visits than ever before. Both patients and doctors had to brush up on their knowledge of smartphones and the use of video conference software over the internet. And we do have two physicians with us that's going to be joining us today from the Pain Institute of Arizona to discuss the struggles and frustrations of their essential practice during this tough time. But first, highlights of tech news this week. TUSD distributed laptops, but the kids may have no way to connect to the internet at home. It turns out that it has become a major issue that in rural areas around the state, there's even talk about making broadband an essential service, giving it the same importance as electricity and water utilities. The increased technology demands affect all students that attend classes online. Some internet service providers are able to help, but the supply continues to be below the demand. So this is an official call for ISPs and installers to step up and find a way to fill this broadband issue here in Arizona. We even have an interview with Leah Marquez Peterson on a future show, and we're hopefully we can fill this demand a bit more. The Microsoft operating system Windows 10 is now 5 years old. How do you feel about that? As a local Tucson technician myself, I think I speak for all of us when I say that it is a necessary evil. The only two consumer operating systems that are supported by Microsoft as of now is Windows 8 and Windows 10, plus any of the server and mobile-based systems. Windows 8 and Windows 10 were developed so Microsoft could compete in the mobile market. Having a single operating system run all of your devices, laptops, desktops, tablets, and smartphones. So the concept of Windows 10 had noteworthy beginnings, but the reality is that it still controls a majority of the U.S. market. And as a result, many people don't have a choice because of that. So as the world turns more and more tech and then they turn towards identity on social media and downloading of apps, it is nice to have an operating system on laptops and desktops that run apps. The country of Barbados wants more digital nomads and people that run their businesses from their laptop to move to the Caribbean for a year. Although COVID-19 is not different in Barbados from any of the rest of the world, their claim is running a business on the beach with a laptop would fill a goal of many business executives. As face-to-face businesses has at least changed for at least the next year, the Washington Post reported last month cooperation with Parliament has even adjusted taxes and visa restrictions, making it easier than ever to spend a year on the island. It's designed to get remote workers and people from crammed cities like New York and London to an open beach to do their remote work. If Barbados doesn't float your boat, other countries are following suit, including Georgia, Germany, Costa Rica, and others have already made visa programs geared toward remote workers and freelancers. Portugal and Estonia also have good economic results by inviting businesses to do business in a wide open space. To introduce this next segment, we want to pose a question. Have you been to your doctor lately? Many doctors' offices are doing things a bit differently lately due to COVID-19. Healthcare IT News even reports that what was previously optional are now must-haves. And it's more than just staying safe, but the ability for doctors to see even more patients in a shorter amount of time and even from a further distance. Although video conferencing is not new when it comes to medicine, the application is certainly unique and creates a new frontier of how doctor visits and patient interaction will play out in the future with virtual health. Joining us in the studio behind plexiglass is Dr. Bailey, and on the phone with us is Dr. Elkins. They are with the Pain Institute of Southern Arizona, which is an 8-location practice with offices in Tucson, Benson, and Safford. Thank you, gentlemen, for being on the phone with us and in the studio. Are you with us,
Dr.
Elkins?
Having us.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Thanks for having us, Aaron. Appreciate it.
All right, so I'll throw this question out there just to get us started. How many doctor's visits has your office actually done?
Well, we took a deep dive and looked, and since kind of quickly putting this as a part of our practice, about 11,000 patients have been able to be seen by telemedicine, which constitutes, you know, something that was very rare initially to now something that comprises a majority of our practice. So quite a few patients have been helped by this.
Mm-hmm. And that 11,000 patients, those are only within since March, right? That you've had to squeeze in.
That's correct. Yeah, exactly. And we had to scramble there because there were provisions in place for telephone calls and other things like that. But Medicare and often reimbursement from individuals' insurance plans kind of precluded the use of telemedicine previously. And so we had to pull this together and integrate it oftentimes with the electronic medical record.
Okay. Now, as I understand, there were some challenges. So what were some of the challenges that that your offices had come across?
Yeah, I think one of the largest challenges that we've come across is, like it or not, a lot of our patients are elderly, and some of them find technology somewhat challenging. And so that was early on one of the biggest challenges for us. Another is a lot of our patients are very remote, and you spoke earlier about the school children with internet access. It's not uncommon for us either to have patients that live so remotely that they also don't have internet access.
Where were some of these remote locations? I'm just curious. What parts of Arizona?
So I cover in Safford. We're a little remote ourselves, but we're a bit of a hub for southeastern Arizona. So, I mean, from Benson to Bisbee Douglas, to Western New Mexico, to Morenci, that's pretty much all constitutes the patients that I see. And so there's patients that live between all those smaller towns and even smaller communities.
Mm-hmm. And, okay, so the challenges were the elderly, access to the internet, right? So what other challenges outside of that? Any others?
Well, I think technologically, it's kind of challenging to take something that wasn't a part of your practice and then incorporate that into your day-to-day operations. Mm-hmm. So our practice had to make sure that medical assistants, schedulers, and other individuals that are part of the team kind of figure out how to be not only trainers for these elderly individuals or people that were maybe not as technologically savvy, mm-hmm. and kind of walk them through the process as well as reassure patients that by doing this, they're not going to suffer inferior care as a result.
Mm-hmm. Now, some of the obvious things, obviously. So, in comparison to face-to-face doctor visits, okay, you come in, you get triaged, right? You take your blood pressure, your temperature, your pulse, all that. So, now, what can somebody do now since triage is not there?
Absolutely. It can be challenging. And part of that is assessing patients, how they look, what kind of concerns they have, you know, we have the advantage of not being necessarily an emergency type of situation or a primary care situation, but we still need to check and make sure that the patient is doing okay, they don't look like they're in any distress, that they're not physically ill or sedated in some way that would cause us to need to get more urgent care.
Mm-hmm. And I was also thinking that the since a lot of your patients are elderly, some of these people already have some sort of blood pressure machine already at home. So when I was sick over the past 2 weeks, I actually had to do telehealth for the first time myself, okay? It was pretty interesting. It wasn't even a doctor. It was a PA, you know, because I guess that's all we can get now. But the interesting thing was is they asked me, have you taken your own pulse? And have you taken your own blood pressure? And if so, what were the numbers? You know, so I'm thinking there should be some sort of spark of people doing more home health and having some basic equipment, a thermometer, some sort of machine to take a blood pressure, something else to maybe do the pulse ox, okay, pulse oximetry. So those things are helpful. So, you know, those people that are listening right now, invest in that stuff. Have something in the house, right?
Absolutely. And we've got to look at sometimes there's some discrepancies between that equipment and what we have in the office, but trends are very helpful. You can look at heart rate. You can look at your weight. Individuals with heart issues might have concerns about weight, putting on weight if they have a heart failure type of situation. So you can get a lot of information from that, as well as by taking the patient's history, and our medical assistants, as well as valuable team members like PAs and nurse practitioners help physicians like myself and Dr. Elkins along the way.
Mm-hmm. So I know that medical history is a huge thing also. So has the patient records, I assume patient records really hasn't changed much. Obviously, those are still all computerized and still serve the same purpose. So we know how much what their weight was and what their height was the last time. You can compare from last time. But now if you don't have a scale, you know, you have to, before you actually start these telemedicine appointments, it would be helpful if the person already took their own weight, already had some preliminary numbers. So that can be like a pre-visit type of deal that patients can maybe do ahead of time.
Absolutely.
All right. So as you were meeting these challenges, what did you put any procedures in place to make things go smoother? So obviously your first couple of telehealth medicines, appointments through the video conferencing, they were probably pretty bumpy, but how are they going now? Are they smoothed out, and what is making them more smooth now?
Yeah, I think at the very beginning, it was a little bit difficult. Just for our staff and myself included. Part of that is, we do have audio video capability, so the patient can see my face, I can see their face. But a lot of things that we would do in clinic, for example, are with models or with pictures or things like that. And so we kind of have adapted to that and put together some, you know, very simple PowerPoints for different issues that the patients are for that visit, and I can share the screen, for example, with the patient. At the beginning, we didn't have that in place, but now I think things have gone much smoother since we've been able to implement things like that.
Excellent. And with these elderly patients, you had mentioned before, a lot of your patients are elderly. They need these pain management injections and things like that. Obviously, you're still taking patients in. Some patients, remote medicine is not an option. They need to see you physically. So obviously there's been some changes, you know, maybe to your office, where people are in the office, and maybe even secluding parts of the staff or things like that. So what kind of changes have you made in the physical office or with staffing?
Yeah, so we limit people in the waiting room. We only have a patient and one visitor come in the waiting room, and we never allow more than 10 people to be in there at a time. So we have, while we're doing the procedure, we have the family member wait in the car, and then we step out and let them know when it's done to get the patient. We check temperatures of all staff and all patients every time they come in. Obviously, staff wearing masks and patients wearing masks at all times. The big thing, I think, is we try to limit the number of bodies in an area at any one particular time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Excellent. Now, we're going to take a quick break. Up next on the Computer Doctor Show, we're going to continue with our discussion on telemedicine and how you can make the most of it. We'll also try to take some of your calls on our open lines at 520-790-2040. You're listening to the Computer Doctor Show on KVOI 1030 Tucson. We'll be right back after this quick break. Stay tuned.
Solar is popping up all over town. Why? Because solar just makes sense. Say goodbye to expensive summer electricity bills. Call or text Julie Festerling at Icon Power, 520-307-1013. Avoid the new 7.9% price increase with the utility company. Call Julie at 520-307-1013. Icon Power will help you take control of your electric bill.
Perfect Look Photography is a photography business that serves individuals, families, wedding parties, children's parties, quinceañeras, and family reunions. We also do headshots for actors and model portfolios. We photograph all types of events in Tucson and communities in Pima and Santa Cruz counties. In addition, we provide more types of photos than any photographer in Tucson, including green screen, art photography, montages, and DVD slideshows. We provide great photos at great prices. For more information or to get a quote, please call 499-4209.
Ugly Goose Car Rental is new in Tucson, providing a low-cost auto rental alternative for just $100 per week. The only catch? The cars are ugly, but very safe and reliable to get you to work, school, shopping, and all your important appointments. To reserve your $100 a week car rental, call Ugly Goose Car Rental at 520-261-0439. Again, 520-261-0439.
Computer Doctor of Tucson is the best choice in desktop support in Tucson. They fix error messages, power and boot problems, install of software and hardware, and much more. You can come to them, or they can come to you, or even have a remote support session so they can fix your issues over the phone quickly. Give them a call at 261-5508, 261-5508. Visit them on the web at ComputerDoctorTucson.com. Computer Doctor of Tucson, because technology is great when it works.
Welcome back to the Computer Doctor Show. In the studio with us again, Dr. Bailey, and on the phone, Dr. Elkins with the Pain Institute of Southern Arizona. And we're continuing our discussion on about virtual health using video conferencing for doctor's visits. As we know, during COVID-19, there's been a flux, a high demand now for video conferencing, obviously for business to business, but now doctors with their patients. They're using services such as telemedicine and various other video conferencing software to meet this challenge. So with our discussion, the next question would be, is there any way to make remote medicine better? What are your thoughts?
Well, we've already touched upon a lot of things that Dr. Elkins kind of spoke about, which is, you know, improving access for rural patients, especially in Southern Arizona. The Pain Institute of Southern Arizona takes care of a lot of patients within the Tucson metropolitan area and then the surrounding areas, but also, you know, rural and kind of far-flung areas are not out of the norm. And I know that the state of Arizona since 2018 has really put broadband access as a big important part of it. Part of that talks about libraries and other ways to get access to the internet, which is great, but it can be difficult to do that in a setting where we're sharing private personal medical information. So there's, you know, potential, not necessarily a HIPAA violation, but other people can hear what's going on in your life. Mm-hmm. When you're coming in for an exam about something that's private, you don't want to be doing that at the library.
Yeah, obviously. Now, a few responses from that, because nowadays the libraries, they have these private meeting rooms where one or two or three people can go into a private room to have a private meeting. Laptops can be brought into there, and you still have access to the Wi-Fi that's there in the library. And a lot of these rural areas, at least they have internet access at their local library, because a lot of the state of Arizona still has libraries that can be used as a public access point internet wise. But I'm 42 years old now. I've never been in a situation where I'm sure in some rural areas, maybe years and years ago, where the only contact that someone would have with a doctor would be over the phone. Okay, so so some of the same principles as doctors over the phone or nursing over the phone. Okay. That can, you know, the same principles that would apply in that type of application could be applied to here, where a person would be their own eyes, ears, and even hands for the doctor in the absence of a doctor, you know, face to face. So, what are some things, or some in-home training that possibly people can do to improve the experience of telemedicine?
Well, I would, you know, some of the things I would suggest, you know, in terms of in-home training, we go to school for a decade or more in many cases to learn how to do these things. So lean on the professionals who are working with you. In our case, we can have people reproduce movements or do tests with the aid of somebody in the home to try to see if we can diagnose something from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. Learning and being a advocate for your own healthcare, I think, is really important too. And you mentioned a lot of great things about knowing your weight, knowing what your heart rate is, taking your blood pressure if those are concerns that you have, and have diagnoses that you're trying to address from that standpoint. So I think those are amongst the best things you can do for yourself, is be an educated patient and know your limits and know that we're here to help, and that we're putting the things in place to try to help out with that. And part of that is knowing that we'll be able to do this in the future. Mm-hmm. And I think they're making great strides to try to address that from a national and an insurance level. Doctors can see patients and take care of them, knowing that we'll be able to do this and continue this safely, mm-hmm. and still give patients the excellent care that they deserve.
You did touch on something very interesting. Dr. Elkins, you had a comment?
I would say one other tip I would have for patients getting ready to do maybe their first telemedicine visit is test your internet connection. Maybe try to FaceTime a family member or something like that, because that is one of the largest difficulties that we have, is we kind of get into the meeting and then it cuts out, or we have difficulty with the connection. So maybe test your connection before your actual visit.
Mm-hmm. Excellent idea. And you know what? One of the best ways to have a fresh connection, a lot of people think it's just simply power cycling your router. That is true to an extent, but if you power cycle your router, shut it off for 10 minutes. 10 minutes is key, because 10 minutes gives it enough time to not just reset the connection locally, but also to reset the connection to the outer routers that are actually outside your house. So anybody listening that wants a really, really good connection, either on telemedicine or Zoom, do a 10-minute power cycle on your router. That will give you the absolute best results. For anybody that's listening that wants to maybe get in touch with you doctors, or if they want some sort of pain resolution, how can they get a hold of you guys?
Absolutely. For any information, you can always visit us at pisapain.com, or you can give us a call at our appointment line at 520-999-9000.
Okay, very good. So real quick, the future for medicine, does it look positive or negative right now?
I'll jump into it first and we'll see. I think it's positive, and I think that we've handled this crisis in a way that I think is exemplary, and I think patients have rolled with the punches as well. They've done great as well. Knowing that insurance is committed towards telemedicine and seeking new solutions is fantastic.
Okay. Thank you both for being on the show today. We thank our guests. We always like to warmly thank our guests, especially for coming in on a Saturday at 2 o'clock. I know this is your weekend, cutting into your family time. Next week on the Computer Doctor Show, hopefully an interview with Leah Marquez-Peterson to discuss adding more broadband internet sites in Arizona. We would also like to thank our awesome sponsors, Icon Power, Perfect Look Photography, Ugly Goose Car Rental. Please do business with them. They are local, and they actually help to keep this show on the air. My name is Aaron Moss, your host and technology expert. Tom Fairbanks is at the control board. Listen to the Computer Doctor Show every Saturday at 2 p.m. right here on KVOI 1030 The Voice. Stay safe, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Enjoyed this episode of the Computer Doctor Show. If you missed any part of this live broadcast, we post all our episodes online at computerdoctorshow.com. Remember, the world is getting more and more tech, and so should you. To stay current with technology, listen to the Computer Doctor Show each week for local and global tech insights. If you have suggestions for a topic on a future show, send us an email at info@computerdoctorshow.com.